Each of you is here now practicing this sesshin. Please understand that everything has come together in such a way that you are able to sit this sesshin. Everything has been prepared just for you alone. Everything is united behind, within, this one step that you make. All things are beckoning you. Just honestly do your practice. And you are answering the call. Everything is given to me that I may sincerely do my practice. This is the only thing for me to do this week. Before each teisho, we chant Dogen Zenji's Arousing the Mind of Enlightenment. Some of the non-Japanese speakers may not understand the lines that we chant. Even while not understanding the meaning of the words, you may still be touched, or you still may feel the nobility of the chant. But this is not to imply that those who do understand the Japanese are necessarily understanding it line by line. Understanding the words and the spirit, openly receiving it. Perhaps it's rather rare to see someone understanding, openly receiving, and carrying out the practice. Understanding, receiving, and carrying out the practice. Understanding and receiving go hand in hand with the practice. If you are careless, it will be as if a breath of wind just passed you by. Now, if you are earnestly one with the wind, openly receiving, of course, that's perfect. But if you aren't careful, it might pass you right by. There was recently a young man here. He must have been 18 or so, still a student, a high school student. Anyway, word came to me that about his complaining about having to be bowing and prostrating all the time. He was bothered by the feeling that he was having to be servile, like a servant before his teachers and others. My teachers aren't so great. Why should I lower my head before them? All this bowing and scraping. He was here, while he was here, it was not sesshin, and I was not giving doksan, so I didn't hear his complaints directly. Actually, it would have sounded kind of endearing to me, I think, the rebelliousness of a child. A child will very often rebel. In rebelliousness, of course, they will not be open and receptive or obedient, unable to receive. In fact, almost every person fails to pick up on truth, reality, the reality of you yourself, of life itself. It just doesn't reach you. Isn't it obvious by your each and every movement and expression, obvious that you are out of touch with truth, that you are looking off from what is? What about it? Have you seen into truth? When reality finally does reach you, your complaints will dissolve. The boy wondered why he's got to bow to anybody. Why bow to Roshi? Where is Roshi? Who is Roshi? When the gong is sounded, you go to take your meal. Soft rice in the morning. A feast at lunch. Dinner. Please eat. Go right ahead. When the time comes for chanting, you're able to come and chant Buddha Dharma. When you walk step by step. When you're eating, you eat mouthful by mouthful. Just this one thing, chewing it completely. This one mouthful, chew it fully. Send it down, it's digested. It becomes the body. If you're taking this step, this one single step, just take this step. If you're chanting, just be one with the chant. You are free, perfectly alive, perfectly free and easy in each second, each instant. Look. Do you ask, why do I have to put up with this? Or why do I have to lower my head before others in this pathetic way? Always putting it over there, away from you. Always creating distance. Always seeing people and things as outside yourself. Take that food which you ate this morning. Suppose you had kicked it away and refused to eat it. It would not have become your very blood and bones, your every movement. You could not have received its energy. In reality, when you bow your head, when you make prostrations, you are worshiping you yourself. The self worships the self. The spirit of oneness, the spirit of worship, is oneness. Reverence is in oneness. You're not bowing before anything else, anyone outside yourself. There is no distance, no separation. Why not? Why can we say there is no distance? For the answer, listen to the very first line of Dogen's chant arousing the mind of enlightenment. Together with all beings, one with all beings. All being, one with all being is one. The flying squirrel in the Zendo roof has been so busy scampering about in the ceiling of the over the ceiling of the Zendo. The day before Sesshin, I myself followed the little squirrel's example. I've been some months now recuperating and hardly moving this body around. But on that day, when everyone was so busy preparing for Sesshin, sweeping and arranging, I just naturally, involuntarily found myself swept up into the movement. I was moving about here and there for the first time in a long time. It sort of seems that when you don't move the body at all for long periods of time, you tend to block the great energy, the natural vitality, which is life. But after moving about, I could really feel it here and there. Different parts of my body were announcing, hey, you've suddenly started using me again, haven't you? I feel so blessed. Good. I hope, I want you to be able to accept any and everything as a blessing. That cute boy asked, why do we have to bow so much? Is it possible that you're so busy complaining and wishing things were different? So busy speaking your mind? And all the while, as you're receiving the feast, You're failing to realize that you're feasting. We have been blessed with this human body, but due to delusive thinking, we fail to perceive our own inherent Buddha nature. We become lost in our own limited views, relying on our own small evaluations of the world. And so, we fail to see truth. Because we look off in distraction, we are unable to appreciate life, unable to feel grateful. How we waste our lives day by day this way. But you are here. You've vowed not to waste your life in this way, in delusion. From the belly of life, from the depths of our existence, you are saying, I am sorry. There is no excuse for being deluded. That deep declaration is just exactly your Sesshin practice. I am sorry. There is no excuse for this delusion. Everything is set up just for me. This Sesshin is your Sesshin. And you are here to give your all. Everything is given. Each thing is giving itself completely, perpetually. You are perfectly receiving everything, always. The genuine is thrust upon you at every turn, every instant. It's for you to see, for you to awaken to. Yes. Yes. This is the true mind of faith. Everything is just as it is told in the teaching. This is just the way it is. Receiving life just as it is. Receiving the teaching just as it is. This is the true mind of faith, the true body of faith. This is the way we accept and receive life. Truly, there is nothing held back from you. Nothing is excluded. You are lacking nothing. This is the pure one color of true practice. These are the final words of the chant, arousing the mind of enlightenment. This is the pure one color of true practice. Dogen Zenji had to leave you with these words. He could not allow you to look away. It would be a grave transgression to have you think that the genuine is off someplace else, something to be gotten, something which is not already at hand. So, drop your notion that truth is somewhere else. The genuine is always and forever right at hand. This is the pure one color of true practice. Resolve yet again to practice this one truth with all your might and main, single-mindedly. Single-mindedly practice this one truth. If you're here now practicing in this dojo, practicing with zest, with enthusiasm, always newly, this is very noble. But you cannot afford to become complacent. Young folks especially are prone to rebel. You are asked only to pour all of your effort into this one truth, your own reality. But if you do not understand that it is your very own truth that you practice, you may feel rebellious. Not unlike the boy who complained about having to bow and make prostrations and lower himself before another. Before whom do you lower yourself? It might not be an exaggeration to suggest that many people have the feeling somewhere that it's not quite right to be obsequious or to be bowing before a weak old man who's only human like you yourself. All of us from time to time have thoughts and speech which tend toward the rough and rowdy. Perverted perceptions. Due to perverted perceptions, we fail to know our own inherent Buddha nature. What a pity. There was somebody who, just before Sesshin, got caught up in their own head trip. The situation simply must be made different. And they left. Their leaving is, in one way, quite a shame. But I couldn't hold them here against their will. If I did prevail upon them to stay, to stick it out through their period of bumpy and negative judgment and criticism, they would be able to comprehend it as nothing more than being held here against their will. While being here, they wouldn't really be here in spirit. And in the end, it probably would not benefit them to be pressured to stay longer, serving only to exhaust the accumulation of virtue, probably weakening their connection with Buddha Dharma. So I advise them to go their own way. It is your own decision. Each step is your own step. But when you've managed to come this far, to then want to throw in the towel and look off from your practice, what a waste. Of course, that person doesn't see it like I want to look off from my practice. If you've climbed the Dharma mountain to the sixth or seventh level, it's critical that you maintain your momentum, that you continue without stopping on this one path. The path becomes arduous at times. The eighth or ninth level, you may feel that you can no longer breathe. At this point, the master, who is watching you climb, can only say, "Don't get caught up. Do not grasp. Do not look back. Go for it in absolute earnest. Please become a person who can appreciate and show your appreciation to repay your gratitude. Just this. Do just this one thing. Just continue your practice." Even if you tell me, "Please pay me no mind," how could I do that? Don't pay any attention to somebody. Who is somebody? There is no somebody, somebody out there separate from a me inside here. It's like when the left hand is hurt, the right hand takes over, covers for the left hand. If the left hand says, "Don't pay me any mind, don't worry about me," the right hand may answer, "Okay, okay." But that right hand still continues to cover for the left, to help, to be of service. It's only natural. This is the exact transmission of true Buddha. This chant, arousing the mind of enlightenment, each line, and truth is laid bare. There's no catering to the intellect, to logic. Each line is a clear tendering of truth. This, this, this. I vow together with all beings. All being together, one. Why do I repeat myself? Because there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness. I vow, one with all being, from this life on, throughout countless lives. This life, countless lives to come. At a death memorial service recently, an elderly woman who was not well herself, having already had stomach surgery, approached me with this question: what happens after death? Death is not somebody else's problem. Death is a fact of this world. You yourself will die. What happens when you die? There is nothing, no thing, which is not you yourself. In answer to her question, what happens when you die? I answered, absolutely nothing happens. She looked very surprised. Absolutely nothing happens. It's the same as when you are alive, nothing changes. We are so quick to look away from what is, so quick to look away from this instant. Being alive, we are calling it this life. From this life on, throughout countless lives. Evidence for you that you are alive is this day, today, now, this day. From this day on, throughout countless tomorrows. From this life on, throughout countless lives to come. What happens when yesterday ends? There's probably no one who worries this day about yesterday ending. Or yesterday, what happens when this day ends? Do you try to hang on to this life, this day? When this day's life ends, what happens with tomorrow's life? What happens when I meet with the death of this life? Absolutely nothing. Everyone is trying so desperately to hold on to this. You cannot grasp it, of course. You cannot hold on. You labor under the illusion that this day, this life, that this is fixed, somehow static. It is the habit of misseeing. You falsely perceive an I, me, mine. You grasp, you hold on to a me. It's your habit. Because you're grasping, you ask, what happens with this thing that I am grasping? Nothing. Some people have the notion that this being ceases to exist with death. So why not just eat and drink and be merry now? Because this is what being human is what's all about. There is only this lifetime, so live in a way that you couldn't regret later. Because when you die, that's it. Some people have that notion. There is nowhere any such fixed, static self. You are trying to hold on to a phantom. Where did it go? What happens to it? But our prayer is this: I vow, one with all being, from this life on throughout countless lives, to hear the true Dharma. And upon hearing it, no doubt will arise, nor will I lack in faith. True Dharma, this is your true self. No birth, no death, no going, no coming. Shakyamuni Buddha, profoundly awakened, and upon enlightenment he proclaimed, all beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. It's very easy to understand it this way. I am the fruit, the crystallization of all being. Thanks to the relentless, thorough effort and energy of all things, I am completely interdependent with all things, all times, eternally. No matter what you encounter. Due to various causes and conditions, each thing takes form. There is potential for countless forms, thanks to all being together, interdependent. Nothing is excluded. Nothing is in excess. Everything is perfectly given. Everything is a perfect offering of the universe. Here, now, just as it is. This is who you really are. This is reality. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is solid. All of heaven and earth is embraced in this one finger. All of the universe is within each and everything. Listen to the little bird. Chun chun, chun chun. Yes, yes. Good, good. Looking at the clock, I wonder, it's already this time of day. There is no solidity. Nothing is fixed. So, you are free to take this one step with dignity. You are free to take this one step fearlessly. Who is taking this step? Who is it? Please, don't hesitate. Upon hearing the true Dharma, no doubt will arise, nor will I lack in faith. There is only truth, this one truth. You will reach the point where, even if you wished to look off from truth, you realize that you cannot look off. But listen. Listen to this. Upon meeting with it, I will renounce worldly views and embrace and receive true Dharma. Here, worldly views. They do crop up, don't they? My own opinion, my own ideas, my way of thinking, the arrogance of my way. Your small cleverness shows its face, takes over, in fact. You want to mull over and analyze things. You just can't break through the idea that your small, limiting, judging, discriminating facility is the most important thing. You continue to rely on your ego idea as being the fundamental thing, as being your foundation. Really, you're still on your journey. You must break through the tyranny of discriminating consciousness. Your deluded notions of who you are is what prevents you from seeing who you are. You will get caught up in worldly views. I, me, mine, the center. Ruled by your limiting evaluations and your self-cherishing. Maybe you're addressing me as Roshi-sama to my face while referring to me as that silly old fool behind my back. Now, what is that you're calling yourself? Cutting yourself off, embracing worldly views, cutting yourself off. This as opposed to that. Me as opposed to you. Throw down worldly views, accept and embrace Buddha Dharma. Then, each movement, each breath is the genuine, just exactly. Just practice. Just do your practice. Ultimately. Listen, ultimately. At last. Ultimately, at last, the great earth and all living beings together attain the Buddha way. Yes. This is just as it is. In the beginning we chanted, together with all beings. Yes, especially, you'll feel especially together with all living beings, because you have this close relationship. It is here that you walk, among sentient beings. Climbing Mount Fuji, you walk the foothills, you walk at the base. Is this here where you are now, the foot of the mountain? Is this the peak? Climb to the peak and you realize that there is really nowhere that is not the peak. Climb, climb. You inhabit the world of sentient beings. So perhaps already you're at the sixth or the seventh level of the climb. You can see the view. What you have done in lifetimes past has awarded you with this human body. The seeds you have planted have brought you here. But if you lose your enthusiasm for the climb, if you only look around at the scenery or decide to back down and check it out down below at the foothills, if you wish to only take it easy, well, everyone does this from time to time, right? You want to check, to look around and check at the scenery, evaluate where you might be, how many people stop here, how many people think that they've done enough, so now they'll just cruise. So I beg you, please, somehow, upon meeting with true Dharma, I will renounce worldly views. Embrace and accept Buddha Dharma. Ultimately, the great earth and all living beings together attain the Buddha way. Each and every phrase thrusts truth at you. Although my past negative karma has greatly accumulated, indeed being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way, may all Buddhas and ancient teachers who have attained the Buddha way be compassionate and free me from karmic effects, allowing me to practice the way without hindrance. Negative karma is mistaken identification with a fixed self, grasping a false self. Thanks to your false notions, you get tossed and turned around in turmoil. We cannot imagine the extent to which we can be caught up in self-cherishing. Although my past negative karma has vastly accumulated, indeed, being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way, may all Buddhas and ancient teachers who have attained the Buddha way be compassionate and free me from karmic effects, allowing me to practice the way without hindrance. May they share their compassion, which fills the boundless universe, with the virtue of their enlightenment and teachings. Together, one, we travel. Together, one, we walk this path. Buddhas and ancient teachers of old were as we are now. We in the future shall be Buddhas and teachers. Yes. Open up and hear the teachings of this chant, one by one. And vow to just practice. I will just do my practice. Just stick with whatever practice you've been given. Just do this. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.